Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 18th of January, recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. Asian stock markets were very quiet, mixed, really. China A shares were a fraction steadier, but that's following the big hit they took yesterday. And Australia up one of the better gains, but 0.81%. Now, European stock markets appear to be higher across the boards. The FTSE 100 index had a decent day, up 1.18%. The Americas were steady here, overall modest gains, but gains nonetheless, mostly in the order of 0.5% or less, although Canada was a bit stronger, up 0.89%. And long-dated government bond prices, they weakened in here today. I see, looking at the screen, particularly the bunds, the euro bunds. And elsewhere, the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar weakened, but it closed off its lows. For instance, sterling's at 159.61, but it had been a cent higher. And the euro's at 133.86. Shrugged off yesterday's reaction, but it had been up to 134.66. The metal markets are all stronger. We had some solid gains here today, particularly in platinum and palladium. Palladium definitely leading. It's very close to its highs, up at up above 812 as I speak. Platinum reached a new recovery high here and is currently at $829.50. Gold, subdued by comparison, but a little steadier, up $5 at $13.68. Silver, 55 cents higher. And the industrial metals all look firmer. I'm just going to check that. No. Tin, I see, eased a tiny bit. So did zinc and lead. But copper and nickel and aluminium were a little bit firmer. The grain and bean complex, we had some real strength there in wheat and corn. Again, with corn leading and pushing up to further new highs on this for this move. Currently, it closed at 6.59, and say wheat was up at up 20 cents. It's getting it's approaching that 800 level once again, or $8 level. Now, elsewhere, I think those are the main highlights, really. Sugar, a little bit firmer, are the ones that I've been keeping an eye on. Crude oil actually eased a little bit. It's 91.30 for NYMEX. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, the combination of prior overextensions on the upside by Asian stock markets and to a lesser extent India, and then the very real factor of some serious food inflation, food price inflation among all of those Asian region markets, have caused them to underperform. Really, over the last couple of months, they can't always outperform, and they haven't, as we know. And India is back to its 200-day moving averages. It was a fraction steadier in here today. The ASEAN markets, such as Malaysia, the Philippines, Thailand, Indonesia, are just basically mostly ranging sideways, getting closer to their rising 200-day moving averages, although they have a way to go. Singapore, being the most conservative choice, is clearly the favorite of the moment and is really quite steady. Normally, when animal spirits are high in the region, Singapore will lag, although it's a wonderful long-term story. But when people become a little bit more cautious, Singapore is a safe place to retreat to. And what else to mention here? Well, the underperformance that we've seen, let's say, over the last couple of months for the Asia Pacific region, that does not include Australia, which is benefiting from the rising prices that we're seeing in commodity prices. But Australia had been a laggard earlier on, partly because of a super strong currency. But it's done quite well over the last couple of months and looks as if it could continue to do well. The European stock markets continue to show evidence of excuse me, of relief here because the Southern European debt auctions went reasonably well with the help of China. And we see the Spanish IBEX today up almost 3%. Again, these markets are not seeing the same degree of food price inflation. And it's a well-known fact that I'm sure you're familiar with, but when we do get the food price inflation, it hits consumers and households in the Asian region more than it does in the slower growing economies of the West, because consumers in the Asian region do spend a higher proportion of their income on food. So it's quite a important and emotive issue generally. So I think that difference is helping these European stock markets, a lot of which had just been range bound for most of last year and a good chunk of 2009 following the initial strong gains. But they look firm, and where they were on the critical list, they look less critical. And where they were steady, they are extending gains overall, and these patterns can support further rallies for the European markets over this quarter at least. Now, Brazil is a really interesting one. It's generally firm overall. Brazil has done nothing for well over a year except range sideways, and near its old high, which is an area obviously of psychological resistance, but it's held it up much more than some of the other quite decent growth markets. And I wouldn't be surprised if that broke upwards before too long. Canada is putting in a stellar performance, maybe a little bit overextended in the short term. Wall Street continues to show good overall relative strength, so the Wall Street leash effect is positive, and that is very good for markets that unshackles markets that want to go up, and it helps to cushion downside risk for markets that are under have been under a bit of pressure recently, such as India and those ASEAN stock markets. Where will all this go? Well, India, where I have a not insignificant interest in terms of my own personal portfolio, India is going to be a volatile ride from time to time. There's nothing new in that, and that applies to most high performance stock markets. But confidence is all important, and governance is everything, as we're very fond of saying at Fuller Money. But governance is particularly important with so-called growth markets because the consistency of governance can be quite varied overall. You may feel that that applies pretty much to the West as well. But put it this way, confidence in the governance in an emerging market really enables it to perform splendidly, and when that confidence is rocked, the market will underperform for a while. I don't know how long it'll take India's government, or India's current government, or India's next government to right the ship here, but hopefully they will, and I'm sure they will. It's just a matter of how long it actually takes, and the degree of additional damage that might occur. If India's banks had not underperformed over the last couple of months, I would feel that it was an outstanding buy at this stage. I'm a little, because bad news is known, but the banks have underperformed, and so I'm a bit cautious, but I'm holding on to what I have because we're in an overall global bull market, and that should help to cushion India's downside risk somewhat. And if it gets a bigger pullback because governance continues to disappoint over the short term, that will create a very good buying opportunity for people who are interested in India. And looking at the long-dated government bond prices, I've been watching that U.S. 30-year Treasury bond future ranging. If that were a commodity, I'd be a buyer down here, but of course it's not. It's a government bond, and looking at commonality, there's not much evidence of falling yields in here right now, beyond a little bit of short covering. We may not get much of a rally in those long-dated government bond futures before we see the overall downtrend continue. That would mean yields start to push a bit higher again on supply problems, on continued GDP growth, and some inflationary pressures coming from commodities. And in the commodity markets generally, well, they're still pretty strong. We have a good momentum move going on here in the grain and bean complex. And I hadn't mentioned rough rice in my quick review of the day, but it was limit up. The only one of the big four that was down were soybeans, and but they're hovering steadily in a range very close to their overall highs and appear well supported. I think these will go further in the short term on the fundamentals and on concern over future shortages, and that applies also to many commodities overall. We're not getting a runaway uptrend in crude oil, but the risk appears to be very much to the upside overall. I think the next big story, and I posted an article on it, I think late last week, and I think it was last Thursday. And Owen's discussing it here again today, is that central banks may not wish to use too much monetary tightening to choke off this strong surge in commodity prices, that would be taking a rather broad, unwieldy weapon, where maybe a scalpel is required in the in the form of targeting speculation in commodities specifically. I have felt that that would come eventually, and I think it'll include higher margin requirements, restrictions on some ETFs, particularly in the in the foods, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, I play these bull markets and bear market trends in these commodity markets, as I do in all markets. But I've mentioned on many occasions that these commodity futures are not were never meant to be investment vehicles overall. They are very much trading trading vehicles. But we have a few months, I think just under 6 months now, before all of the various arguments regarding commodity speculation are weighed up by the CFTC and discussed by the House of Representatives. But I think that the chit chat that occurs will dampen the commodity speculation, certainly as we approach mid-year, if not sooner. And on that note, I'll just say all the best to all of you.